In this week's Science Brief, a giant space bubble, using human whistling to learn how dolphins chat, and microflyers. Imagine this for me. Miniature devices for environmental monitoring that can fly. What do you picture? Well, Professor John Rogers at Northwestern University in the US and his colleagues thought seeds would do the trick.
Cottonwood seeds, maple seeds that have developed over the course of billions of years very sophisticated principles in aerodynamics, and we've been able to adapt those ideas, apply them to man-made electronic circuit platforms.
In a paper published this week in the journal Nature, he and his team showed off a flurry of mini devices designed to drift away on the wind. You've probably spotted seeds caught fluttering lazily on a breeze, somehow falling much more slowly than they should. You might have even picked one up, tried dropping it, and marveled at how long it whirled before touching down. These natural designs make it easier for plants to disperse their seeds over wide distances. The team made biodegradable structures that mimic these shapes and have electronic circuitry built into them. One design looks a bit like a helicopter's propeller. It's about the size of a grain of sand, and Professor Rogers says their designs can outperform natural seeds in flight.
We've been able to build structures that fall in a more stable trajectory at slower terminal velocities than equivalent seeds.
But why do we need a bunch of tiny artificial electronic devices fluttering about? Well, the team says they could be used to monitor the environment or even people. So far, they've shown the devices can track airborne particulates, pH, and sun exposure. So dumping a bunch of them out of a plane could help monitor pollution in the air, or environmental remediation efforts, or even detect airborne diseases. Increasingly miniaturized technology means they can be equipped with a power source, memory to store data, and even wireless communication. And what about cleanup after they've touched down? Apparently, the microflyers are made from biodegradable materials. The researchers say they break down harmlessly in groundwater, even the electronic circuitry. Though that does take a little while, and I suspect it might still be a shock if you accidentally breathe one in. If you'd like a glimpse of what these miniature devices look like in flight, follow the link on the Science Show website. And from the very small to the gigantic, researchers from the Harvard and Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics have found an enormous sphere-shaped void in space. According to their paper in the Astrophysical Journal Letters, it's nearly 500 light-years across. Now, you might think a giant void in space isn't much to get excited about, but the team says it might help us understand how stars are born. Alongside stars and planets, the known universe is full of, well, space, and clouds of molecular dust that haven't formed into larger structures. Until recently, these gas clouds have only been mapped in 2D. But using new 3D reconstructions, the team found this enormous bubble. They believe it might have been created when a star or multiple stars violently exploded, pushing nearby space debris out in all directions. The authors say this might be why at the edge of the void there are now large clouds of gas, which are sometimes known as stellar nurseries. Clouds of space matter clump together over time, thanks to gravity. And once those clumps reach a large enough size, they can form larger structures. There are hundreds of stars forming or recently formed along the edge of this spherical cavity. So the authors say this research could help show that dying stars can kick off a chain of events that leads to new stars being born. And if you want to see this enormous space in space, the team behind this paper have put together an augmented reality visualization of the bubble and surrounding clouds. That link's on our website too. And finally, dolphins whistle to communicate. And so do some people. There are whistled versions of about 80 languages that often developed to help people communicate over rugged terrain.
Ven aquí, espabilate.
While they're all different, the languages all simplify words, syllable by syllable, into melodies. And researchers from France and the US believe understanding how people process these languages could help us decode dolphin chatter. In the field of bioacoustics, scientists categorize animal sounds. many have looked at bird songs. And the authors of this new paper say the field generally studies those by breaking them up into syllables, which is often defined as a section of melody with a gap of silence before and after. This approach is often used to study dolphin whistles too. But the team argues in the journal Frontiers in Psychology that we might be going about this the wrong way. Dr. Julien Mayer is the paper's lead author.
In bioacoustics of animals, generally for birds or for dolphins, scientists use the sounds, continuous sounds of a whistle as a bioacoustic syllable. But in human whistle speech, we know that when there is a silence between two whistles, it doesn't necessarily mean that the silence is the limit between two syllables. We look at these gaps in human whistle speech to try to understand if the same approach could be useful for studying dolphin communication and especially dolphin whistles.
Their theory is that using a known human whistled language, we should be able to pick out the discrete audio units of whistle speech. And we might be able to use that to decode dolphin whistles. There are a lot of assumptions in that theory, and the paper doesn't include new research to back it up. Instead, it's an overview of the field, plus a proposal for studies that could begin testing this idea. But dolphins are intelligent social creatures. They seem to use vocal signals to pass on information, and they have large brains, comparable to humans, proportionate to body size. So if they've got something to say, then it's probably worth testing new ideas that might help us learn how to listen better.
Thanks, Carl.